welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, I want to address a number of things that we are really dealing with, I guess, as well, this coming week. Is Carol here? Was that a handout to everybody? Did you all read that? I'm not going to ask how many did or how many didn't, but I would suggest, encourage you to read it. It was a great item. I know I'm probably going to get told off for this again, but the person that writes that is not I. It is a scribe, and she is a real scribe. She is a spiritual scribe. And I get blessed every time I read what Carol puts on the front page and such items as this one. If you have it and you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It is quality, and especially where we're at today. I want to turn you in your Bible, if you would go with me, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Have you all got 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm reading from verses 2 to 4. This is Paul exhorting Timothy, servant of God. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That's when trouble comes. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. That might as well have been written to every one of us that's born again in this place this morning. That is the word of the Lord to us. You know, the devil has been at war with the church and is at war with the church. The devil's been at war with the church ever since Jesus Christ gave up his life for mankind. When every drop of his blood was shed, when he was nailed to the cross, when every bone in his body was broken, when he rose again then and triumphed over sin and death and hell and put his foot upon the neck of the devil, hallelujah. From that time on, the church was at war with the devil, or let me put it, the devil was at war with the church, because we are his body. And Jesus annihilated Satan. He destroyed every power he had and the ability to do harm and damage the way he had been. He endowed that in the life of the church. He endowed that into you and into me. And so therefore, he hasn't got Jesus around any longer to get at, but he gets at the church. Because his job, his desire, his lust is to destroy God's creation. I'm not going to take you back the story, you know it, going back to the Garden of Eden. But ever since that, that's the heart of Satan, that's the role of Satan, that's the desire of Satan, to destroy God's creation, to destroy it and annihilate mankind. And so the church, standing in the name of Jesus, you and me, are the one, that, the only one that block him and his mad masquerade to destroy and annihilate and change the face of God's creation. I want us to consider the part that we're to play in that. And I want to turn you to a passage of Scripture in Mark 9. I want this morning to talk to you in two realms. I want to talk to you about what's going to happen next week, prayer and fasting, and the importance of it. I want to talk about that, and then I want to switch over to another equally important area of our living, and that is what we do about it. So let's turn to first. Did I give you a scripture? Mark 9. Did I give you? Mark 9, verse 14 through to 29. This is about us coming tomorrow. This is what we're coming to do tomorrow. We're coming to stand in the gap. We're coming to seek the face of God. We're coming to get the mind of God. We come into the Lord together, that we will collectively, and only by being collectively together are we able to fulfill the real purpose of God, because it's the church. I'm not the church, I'm part of it. We are the church here in this local setting. We are the church. And we are that which every joint supplies, and that's why it's important for us. But in this passage, in Mark 9, Jesus talks about prayer and fasting, so I just want to touch that with you. Mark chapter 9, verse... ...14. And when he, that's Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, he knew that they were a rascally bunch, what are you discussing with them? In other words, he was aware that they were trying to make a nonsense of his disciples. Verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who was a mute spirit. In other words, he couldn't speak. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that you should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said to them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, that's the young man, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, that's Jesus, of course, asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him... He has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, that's a great question, statement to ask, to put before the Lord. If you can do anything, and the reason it's a great statement to make is because with God, nothing shall ever be impossible. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, there it is, faith, believing. If you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Say that with me. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Say it with me again, will you? If I can believe, all things are possible to me who believes. All things. Amen. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead. So that many said, he is dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And I'm going to leave it there. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I want to talk about what was really being communicated there. You know, prayer and fasting, prayer is seemingly something that a lot of people find difficult to do, and it's not on their hit list. But talking to God, because we can't feel anything, and we have no emotion in this way because it's a spiritual thing, prayer becomes something which is sidelined more than it should be. And he doesn't just talk about prayer, he talks about prayer and fasting, prayer with fasting. Well, when you ask people to fast or miss a meal, you know, it's the end of the world, mostly. You know, people get so used to this tummy that this tummy has become lord of their lives. A lot of people are dictated to by their tummy. I can't do this, I can't go there, I can't do the other because I've got to eat. Well, I want to tell you this, you'll not die. You can miss your meal. You can miss two meals a day. You can miss three. You can miss two days. You can miss 4 days. You can miss 5 days. You can miss 15 days. You can miss 20 days without eating. You'll not die. When we and Christians get hold of that, instead of just thinking, oh, you know, that's so many words and there's nothing to that, then we will remain in a position where the enemy is easily able to control us. Jesus said, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. Did he say anything else to them there? This kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. That's a powerful statement for him to make to these people. Cut a long story short, he was just answering their question here. They'd seen him just cast this spirit out, just called it out and it came out. They said, we can't do this. There's a lot of us that ask that question. I'd like to do this because the Bible says it's true and yet it doesn't work. It does work. It does work. It works to those that believe. It does work. And when Jesus said, this kind cometh out by prayer and fasting, whoa, that puts a stop on a lot of people's lives. Prayer with fasting. What was he saying to them? This kind comes out when this is taking place. What he was saying was, in layman's terms, he was saying, the reason is, you're not close enough to God. That's what he was saying. You're not close enough to God. You have little time for God. You haven't got a hunger in your heart for God. You don't want his presence. So the thought of fasting, the thought of setting time aside to pray, the thought of locking the door and eating nothing for as long as it takes until you hear heaven. He wasn't chastising them. He was just answering their question. Why can't we do it? You're not close enough to him. You're not close enough to him. And the Bible says, the psalmist cries out in, I think, Psalm 42. He says, my heart panteth after thee, O God. Listen to that word. My heart panteth after thee, O God, as the hart panteth after the water brook. The picture there is a deer or being chased by a predator and I can hardly just go any further distance because of exhaustion and thirst and so on. If I only could get a drink, only you could get a drink, it would give him enough energy to take on another spurt and get away from this predator. As the hart panteth after the water brook, it's life or death for me. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after you, Lord. How much do you love him? How much do I love him? It's found and seen for us and anyone else by our actions, by a level of commitment. But that's the only way we have authority over the powers of the devil. It's in the name of Jesus. That means we become a representative of him. When he appears there, when he appeared there, demons trembled and feared. And you and I can only experience that as we get close to him. In other words, every day we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible says And you know what righteousness is? It's who God is. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Just the hunger. I want you. Hunger. You know, that word hunger is an interesting one. It appears as it comes to me right now. It's a very interesting one. Hunger. I've used the illustration many times, I suppose, but you know it. Have you ever got that hungry that you feel weak and your legs feel weak and you've been dying to get something to eat? I don't know, this depending on the circumstances, and it wouldn't matter if it was you getting to your own home or you could get something to eat, you would go and get it just and eat it and just to alleviate that because you go weak. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You go into a faint and feel so weak that you... Well, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled when you are hungry for God. When God truly is the Lord of your life, and not only the Lord of your life, but He is living inside of you by the Holy Ghost. You want to be in His presence. You want to be like Him. You want to fulfill the Word of God. And yet you and I can't fulfill these words of God without doing what the Word says too. And here we read that Jesus turned around and said, it doesn't come any other way but this, prayer and fasting. I'm saying that because this coming week, this church, not me, this church is not me, and this church isn't you as an individual, but this church is the instrument in the hand of God, and whilst it's done some great things in the past, it wants to do greater things today and greater things tomorrow, beginning with reaching the lost wherever they are. But along with that, God has given us some equipment to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out devils. He's given us authority over power, over all the power of the devil, the Bible says. Is that awesome? Read Matthew 10 when Jesus just sends out the disciples. He didn't just pack them off. He said, go and tell everybody about me. He packed them off with a bag full of tools to use. I give you power. Praise the Lord. Matthew 10. I haven't got to the book of Acts yet. And here we are as a church. The last thing we ever want to be is a holy huddle with the church. And it's made up of every joint supplying its ability to be the whole. I'm not this church. I'm just a contribution to it. But when I'm added to you, and we're added to you, and you know what I mean, we become an awesome force. But as long as we remain as individuals with our own concepts, discords and divisions, everybody having their own opinions, then you've got discord and division. If we have discord and division, we are going nowhere. If we have difficulties, then we should go to one another and talk to one another. If you have problems over doctrine or whatever in the life of this church, come to me or the elders. Don't allow the enemy to use you to become a discordant part of this house. Let's see what the Word of God says together. It's of no man's private interpretation. I did say I'm being pastoral this morning, didn't I? I'm jealous for God's house. I love God. I'm just jealous for God. I'm jealous for Jesus to be seen to be Lord. That doesn't mean to say I'm perfect. I'm only perfect in Him, but I love Him. I love Him. And this house loves Him. I do believe that. But you know, the enemy comes and he wants to distract us. Hillary and I have made it a part of our lifestyle that Jesus is first, not other things. If there's a way to make a way that we can fulfill what we should be or where we should be, we'll do it. We'll do it. Because this is God's house and it's God's people, and the world needs God. And we haven't got a whole lot longer left to demonstrate how much we love Him. It's only here and now that the records are being kept of, not later. And so next, this coming week, we are setting ourselves to become yet again restored and reinvigorated and remotivated as a house of the Lord, a family of people, a flock of God who are together there to do the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. So it's not just an option, prayer and fasting this week. Don't receive it as an option. Oh, I've already decided I'm not going to that. Well, that's between you and God. But God's plan is that you are there. And I'm there. And we're there for a purpose. We're there to join together, to hear from God. We're there as everyone equal. We're all redeemed sinners. Praise the Lord. Who God has been pleased to put together. The house of the Lord. And this week is going to determine so much of our immediate future after that, because God's going to give direction if we are faithful to seek Him. Be united. Come with visions and dreams. Come walking in the supernatural. We need you. We need you to be present. We need you to be involved. I want to switch over now to one other aspect that's so important for us as we move forward. I've just touched the aspect of the need of our unity, the need of our involvement, the need of praying and fasting and living close to God. Having Him first in your life and not somewhere where it's convenient. But first. I have a wife who I know there's somebody more important in her life than me. That used to annoy me a little bit in my carnality. But I'm thankful to say today that my wife has a husband that loves somebody more than her. Listen, he's a lover of your soul. Love him. Love on him. And starting tomorrow night when you come in, don't come into the prayer gathering and just wait for something to happen. Start loving on God. This place is going to be an open place where you can walk around and talk to God and prophesy and speak out and be liberated. And this is the place where you come into, where you're already, the pen of a ready writer is in you. You're available to God. You're not come just because, oh, what will they think about me if I don't turn up? You might as well not turn up if you come to do nothing. We are instruments in the hand of the Holy Ghost. I can't stress it enough, church. I just have a sense of urgency, not only in where God's taking us as a church, but in the times in which we live. God's trusted you and me to be an end time, part of the end time church. That's what He's called us to do, to call us to be. I want to talk now, switch to another side, a very important side of it. And to do that, I want to take you to Exodus. I'm talking principle here. Well, I've been talking principle all the time, I suppose, but back with the word. Exodus 14. And I'm going to read verse 14. Well, let me break into at verse. Children of Israel had got out of Egypt, and the Egyptians were after them, and all the chariots and horsemen of Pharaoh were behind them. I'm going to break up in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, and of course they were fearful, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Let me just leave it there. I think that's enough for me to pick up on what I want to communicate. Moses was the God-appointed leader of the children of Israel, taking them out of Egypt and bringing them to a place of deliverance. And in so doing, he brought them into a phase where God had wanted them to come to. But to go any further now, they were in problems and needed a miracle because Pharaoh's army was behind them. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. God has continually through the years, when we've had situations whereby we have to make a decision in what we do within that situation, God has continually, not necessarily used those words, but instructed me to go on ahead, to go forward. And as a church, they've, from the trustees, elders, they've trusted what God has said to me, and we've gone forward and we've accomplished it. Continually. And here, he's saying it to Moses again. He's saying to him, and look at this carefully. I was reading it and it really hit me. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Moses was praying, trying to get help from God for the children of Israel. We're going to be overtaken any time now by the Egyptian hordes. Why do you cry to me? Do you know anything about praying when it would all seem like that you're crying? The need is so deep, the circumstances are so treacherous. Well, he was crying to God, but he was praying to God. And what did God say? Why are you crying to me? Why are you still praying? Listen, my Bible tells me when you ask, he said, you shall receive. When God says, ask me, he responds. He is faithful that promised. Moses could quit doing that now. Moses was able to stop doing that now. But he was so still caught up interceding with God, with the children of Israel, praying, praying, crying out, crying out. Can't you see how near are they getting to us? Read the text. They're almost on us. What are you going to do, God? And so here's Moses there, and God comes to the lead and says to Moses and says, will you stop praying? Will you stop praying? I've heard your cry. He didn't say that here. I've heard you. Do you know God hears you the minute you call? It's faith that determines whether you hear him. I hear you. And what does he go on to say? Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. So what's Moses to do? Moses is to go to the people and he was to give them instructions that they are to go forward. But what's in front of them? The Red Sea. What's behind them? The Egyptian army. What's the option? Well, probably a lot of people would say the best option is go to the left or to the right. You might have some hope of getting away from them. But if you go in that way, you're in trouble. If you go backwards, you've had it. And God says to him, Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And God's telling this church yet again to go forward, to take your eyes off what you think are the reasons that we can't do more than we're doing, the restrictions that you might think we have around us, the limitedness that we have because of the size of the congregation or the lack of finance that's always available to us to do what we want to do. You might think all of that. But God said to Moses, Moses, tell him to go forward. Of course, the people there wanted to go left or right. Forward, they've had it. But listen, it's always been the same. It still is today. If we will listen to God, if we will follow hard after God, if we will seek his face, just like with the children of Israel, what God was really saying to them, you move forward and make as much space as you can to go forward. And the minute you come to the place where you can't go any further, I'll take over. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how it is for us, for a church. That's how it is for you as a family, for you as an individual. You've got your part to play. So many of us want God to come and lift us from here to there without us having to play any role that might be difficult, challenging, or would test our faith. And God was saying to Moses, go forward. He didn't use the words I'm using now, but that's what he was saying. You go as far as you can and as quickly as you can. And when you can't go any further, I'll take over. It was only when they reached to the Red Sea itself that they couldn't take over and do any more. God came along, told him exactly what to do it. That's where God wants to take us, church. Do not get excited when you realize that that's the sort of God that's leading us. But we've got to get out of our puny way of thinking over our complaint of this, that, and everything else. We've got to get hold of doing whatever we can, no matter how hard it seems. We're going to go and do it because God will do what we can't do, but he'll make sure that we can do, if we're willing, whatever we need to do. But we have to get ourselves out of the way. We have to hear God. And let me say this, and this is a dangerous place I'm going right now, but I'm bold enough to go there, for I have no ambition in leadership. I have none. But God placed me in a position. I never asked for it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't desire it. I had no thought even of it. But God gave me a place of responsibility in leadership. And we need leadership. We need the body, but we need a head. And that's a biblical principle. And if that fails in this house, then this house becomes completely helpless. Because God has a chain of command and it comes down a certain way. Just as with Moses. The people couldn't have done anything about that. They were only crying to Moses. Why were they not crying to God? Why were they getting hold of Moses all the while? Because Moses was the one that God had trusted, charged with, to deliver his people safely. But God's got a message here for us as through this week we start seeking him with all of our hearts, and every one of us count. Every one of us are required. I need you to lift this arm up, because at times I find it difficult to lift up. I need someone else to lift this one up, and I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. And we're all in some way in the same position. We need some help. We need someone to support us, lift us up, encourage us. Whatever it is, we're all there. None of us are excluded from that because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. But praise God, we have an all-overcoming conqueror as our Savior and our Lord. And his way has been made clear to us. So next week, we have the potential, if we're faithful as a church, to take up the next period of time of God's plan for this house and his people and what he's going to do in us, with us, and for us. We have an opportunity to ensure that that happens and takes place. We all need to hear God. I need to hear God all the time. One of the first ways I've found is reading this. One of the second ways I've found is loving him enough just to trust him. That he knows the way that I take, to trust him. So don't panic. Trust him. So family, what you've heard me share this morning, and I know by no means is everybody here. What I'm saying is we're in a way that we've never been before, and we can change the future simply by coming together sincerely. Not coming together with minding anybody else's business or trying to be anybody other than we are, but coming just as I am, but with the Holy Spirit in us and alive and willing to be available to flow through us, direct us, speak to us, if we'll open up our hearts and lives. That's where the prayer and fasting comes in. That's where the prayer and fasting comes in, getting close to him, getting close to him. Oh, Lord God Almighty, I miss the food. I miss it, Lord. But you know, after a short while, the hunger goes. But then you enter into the realm of riches, spiritual riches, fellowship with God, the Almighty God, who comes down just to where you are. Hallelujah. You know, he's so big, and yet he's able to major on you as though you're the most important person in his family. God is so great. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.